All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome. How's everyone doing this beautiful Sunday morning? We doing all right?
Woo-woo!
Welcome, welcome to Bird Park Church. And man, we've been doing this for about a year and a half now, and this is a beautiful day to do church outside. Am I right? Are we doing all right today? Thank you for being here. It's a beautiful Sunday. If you don't know already, follow along in the lyrics on your smartphone. We can do that because it's 2021. Scan the QR code on each table, and you can follow along with the songs we're going to be singing today. You know, one of my favorite songs, anybody know the song Blessed Be Your Name? Anyone know that? And there's a line in there, you guys might know it, where the streams of abundance flow, or when I'm in the desert place. Who can react to that either side? Which one are you on? Are you in the streams of abundance, or are you in the desert place right now? Maybe a little bit of both, maybe, right? I don't know about you guys. I thought about this week. Perspective is everything. Perspective is everything right now. I found myself complaining about my life a little bit to our brother Matt, who, as many of you know, we've been praying for him. He's been in the hospital for weeks. And I'm just like, man, my life is so hard. Like, I'm frustrated and stressed. And he's like, I'm in the hospital for 3 weeks laying on my back. Like, but ministering to me in that moment, so blessed by his words and just that perspective, right? We know this. We see Paul in his message. He's in prison. He's in prison. And what is he putting out while he's in prison? Some of the most amazing words and testimony. While the band comes up, I'm just going to read a little part of this, guys, on this perspective of guarding it, guarding this message that we have. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Amen. Guard the good deposit. Allow that perspective of God to just come in to renew your heart. I hope you feel that this morning. I hope you feel it through our worship today. So let's stand. Let's worship. All right.
Awesome. Thanks, Reed. And again, welcome everyone. And to all those online watching, including you, Matt. I know you're watching this morning. We say hi to you all. And let's turn our attention to him and praise his name in this place.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
God's people said, amen. You may be seated.
Amen. What about the children? Oh, that's no, that's later. Children. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, that's better. I guess I can't shout it at you and expect you to, you're too surprised. And welcome to all of you, whether you be, again, in the autoettes, in our parking places, whether you be sitting actually in front, right here, in present, or whether you be online. And Matthew, yes, we continue to pray for you and others. Boy, it's great to have you here. And it's great to have God here, right? Because we know that God is here. But, you know, we don't pray that he would come. No. We pray acknowledging that he is here in our invocational prayers. He is here. He can't help but be here. And that's the awareness that we have to have. Wherever we are, he can't help but be there. And actually, if we go about it the right way, with the Holy Spirit filling us, we are bringing him wherever we are, right? So, yeah, proper perspectives. And it's these times of, like, COVID and whatever that we take proper perspective. You know what we do? We throw it on the ground and go, or we throw it away. We run from it, even. And it really is kind of, it's kind of getting me upset. It's very disheartening to hear what people have been saying. It's very discouraging to see what people have been posting. Oh, that's a new phenomenon. It has me asking the question, have we lost sight? Have we lost sight of who we are as believers, as who we are of children of God? Have we lost sight of who we are as the family of God, brothers and sisters together in this family? Have we lost sight of how Jesus treated others and how he asks us to treat others? And what does this, does it seem like sheep in our flock are herding other sheep in the church over the issue of this? You have yours, right? I know many of you aren't wearing it, but I know it's very close to you. And I don't mean in an affectionate way. I mean in an area, a location way. But it really is troubling, especially when you see two distinguished Americans like Dr. Fauci and Rand Paul going at each other because of this, essentially. Actually, there's a lot behind it, but this is essentially what they're talking about, right? It's amazing what we can do with things and treating people with things. We can make this literally a weapon against others. And that's a shame. That's a shame. You know, Romans chapter 14, I'm in Romans now in my yearly reading through the Bible. I always love getting there. I always hate getting there because it's just an incredible book. And it's a book that takes you up and tears you down. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. So, yes. And in Romans 14, that is the fundamental chapter in the Bible about Christian freedom, about Paul talking about Christian freedom and how to love fellow Christians even when, or should we say, especially when, they disagree with you. They disagree with you. Paul's writing to a group of people who were greatly divided over non-essential issues. Is this an essential issue? No. Do we turn it into essential issues? Shamefully, yes. Well, at least we try. We try, and we shouldn't allow it to happen. But he's writing to a group of people who are divided over non-essential issues that then could divide the church. If they allow it to become big enough, it could divide the church. It could tear the church apart if they were not careful. How does this affect us today regarding mask wearing? Because it's one of those non-essential issues that we are actually beginning to divide over. And it's sad. I would say it's funny, but worse, it is sad. I don't think God laughs at it. I think God more cries about it than he laughs. There are some who think that masks represent political views. Some who think that masks represent our view towards science. Others who think wearing masks is about asserting our rights. And to some degrees, if we don't allow it to get out of control, yeah, that's not really the case. If we allow it to get out of control, then yeah, each one of those has its own effect. But what follows, I ask myself, what might Paul say about this issue if he was pastoring a church today and this issue of masks came up? And luckily, God had me there in Romans 14. So What I'm about to read is a word-for-word reprint of the ESV, the English Standard Version translation of Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, but paraphrases or phrases like eating or observing days or drinking are replaced with what? Mask wearing. So listen, if you would. I'm going to put on my eye masks. As for one who is weak in faith, welcome him or her, but not to quarrel over opinions, parentheses, such as whether to wear masks or not, into parentheses. One person believes that he or she may not wear a mask, while the other person believes it's best to wear the mask. So it is to be, brothers and sisters. We're going to have differences of points of view. Let not the one who does not wear masks despise the one who wears masks, and let not the one who wears masks pass judgment on the one who does not wear masks, for God has welcomed both of them, him and her. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It's before his own master that he stands or falls, and he or she will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him or her stand, right? In other words, in judging them, who are you actually judging? Their master, our God. One person esteems wearing masks as better than not wearing masks, while another esteems not wearing masks as legitimate. Each one should be fully convinced in his or her own mind. That's the key before God. If one wears a mask or not, he or she should go about it in honor of the Lord, since each gives thanks to the same God, whether masked or maskless. For none of us lives to him or herself. None of us dies to him or herself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died, and he lives again, that he might be Lord of both the living and the dead. And all God's people said, Amen. Why do we pass judgment then on our brothers and sisters for wearing a mask? Or why do we despise our brother or sister for not wearing a mask? For we all stand before the judgment seat of God, and it's written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to me. So then each of us will give account of him or herself to God and to God alone. Therefore, let's not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother or sister. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ that neither view is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. For if our brother is taken ill or grieved by us not wearing a mask, we're no longer walking in love. By not wearing a mask, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died, but also do not let what many regard as good be spoken of as evil if you choose not to. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of wearing masks or not wearing masks, but of righteousness, peace, joy, and such in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men, mask or maskless. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. And all God's people said, Do not, for the sake of wearing or not wearing masks, destroy the work of God. Everything is needed. Everything is clean. But it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he or she views in issues like this. It's good to wear a mask so that others do not stumble. The faith that we have, we need to keep between ourselves and our God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on him or herself for what he or she has approved. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he or she does not wear a mask. So in other words, the issue is not between you and anybody else, but between you and whom? By faith, between you and God about mask wearing. And so don't push it onto others. Deal with it where it needs to be dealt with, and that is between you and God. Many of us have seen Christians assert their right not to wear a mask in such a way that it actually is hurting other Christians. or their right or their need to wear a mask as it hurts other critics. Many of us have heard others make comments about those who do not wear masks as if they are not Christian at all because they are not wearing one. Yet in doing so, we're using our freedom in Christ to beat people over the head, aren't we? We're using our convictions to shame others that we don't agree with. And brothers and sisters, as Paul says, this should not be. This should never be under heaven. And if we are not careful, we will see this burst into strife. We'll see it burst into division. Where are the true servants of the church? Where are those who want to use their Christian freedoms to build others up as Jesus himself did? It doesn't matter if we're more conservative or liberal politically. It doesn't matter what our ethnicity is. It doesn't matter if we're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if we're in medicine or we're not in medicine. It doesn't matter if we think this is a hoax or if this actually is the next Black Plague. What matters is what we think about Jesus Christ, what we think about his death on our behalf, and what matters is his command that we love each other as he loved us. Paul rooted this doctrine of Christian freedom in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't assert his rights. He gave his rights up. And that's what this meal and the communion that we're about to have represents. Him giving his rights up. And yes, this is August. Welcome to August, being the first month Sunday in August. And yes, for those who are at home, we are going to be celebrating communion, so you may want to get some elements together so that we might celebrate it together as the band comes back up. What I ask is that you indeed listen to the songs that are sung, listen to the Holy Spirit, and in hearing this message and in hearing where perhaps there are places that you need to ask forgiveness or you've had some confrontation or what have you, yes, ask that. Ask that in this time of praise. Ask for the forgiveness that the death that this represents indeed does give us. Forgiveness of our sin, the clean slate that we all need. Lord, as we take this bread, we remember that you are the bread of life. You feed our souls. You nourish our hearts. You give us sustenance to run the race before us. And as we eat the bread, we feel the softness of your love for us. And Lord, as we take the cup, we remember that you are the giver of life and that without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption of sin. You are forgiveness. You bring deep peace to our souls. And your love flows within us. And that is what we should be concerned with in life. As we pour out this cup, we see your sacrifice poured out for us. We notice the depths of your goodness and the pain that you suffered for us in setting us free. The pain that sin brings to our life as well, Lord. And we ask for that sin to be forgiven. We come to you now to ask that forgiveness in thought, word, deed that does not honor your name. And we invite you to inhabit our hearts now as we take communion. And as we share this meal, come bind us together as one family filled with your love. Thank you, love, for your Lord Jesus, for your grace that is at work in our lives every day. And all God's people said, amen.
I cast my mind to Calvary. Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still
God, you're so good. What I call communion. We're telling him back that he is so good to us, and we can have that communion all day long, all week long. But we get caught in the matrix, don't we? Got to get to the boat, got to get off the boat, got to get through the Vons line. Which one's the fastest line in Vons? Right? I've got four rental carts in front of me, and I just gonna get downtown, and they're going 2 miles an hour, right? The Matrix. Some of that stuff's a little too real. You're like, okay, back off, Pastor. Guys, it is great to see you. Everyone is fighting for tent space this morning. It is a little sunnier, isn't it? Each week we have a little something, a little change. This one is bright and blue up there, which means we're all looking for tents. And welcome to the Ottoettes. Welcome to those in the hospital. Matt Casada, you are with us. Even though we don't see you, we know you're here, okay? You're watching, and we miss you this morning. For all of us here, we say we love you, and we hope that you are progressing. We know that you are. In fact, every time I talk to you, I know some things are progressing, maybe physically slower, but spiritually you're encouraging so many people out here, including myself. And there's some of you in this message today. There's a ton of me in this message today, as this tent thing goes a little deeper as the summer's progressing. My daughter and I are here on the island working a lot. She is going around the clock, and she's like, Dad, I really want to camp. and I want to do something special. I want to camp. So we're planning on camping, and her gear basically is where college is located in Florida. So she borrowed some of mom's gear and the different tents that mom has. We love to backpack. Anyone here like to backpack or hike? All right. Tent camping? Anyone? Oh, not so many. Glamping. Okay, yes, they're that whole table right there. All glampers. This is that time of the year. We're looking at chapter 5 of Mark, which is loaded this morning. We didn't get a chance to introduce you to that scripture, but that's where we're going this morning. Where have your thoughts been as of late? We're looking at Mark 5, verses 21 through 40. And it is loaded with Jesus. Anyone here want to hear some Jesus today? That's good. That's why I'm here too. We just had communion with him. Let's keep it going. There's so much here. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, this is after he restored a demon-possessed man to his rightful state, okay? He crosses back. This chapter's loaded. There's a ton of Jesus in here. We're going to move around. He crosses over, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Verse 22 of chapter 5 of Mark says, "Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet." Verse 23, "He pleaded earnestly with him, 'My little daughter is dying. Please come. Put your hands on her so she'll be healed and live.'" Verse 24, Jesus went with him. And on the way there, you know what happened next, right? The crowds were pushing in, and the woman, the sick woman, was healed that touched his cloak. Remember that story, right? She was healed from inside her faith. All of that is going on. Then, verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, okay? They had terrible news. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Verse 36, overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. That's verse 37. Jairus was scared. My friends here in Avalon and listening online, my buddy Matt, if you let too much fear in right now, if you let too much content in right now, you're going to go crazy. You're going to go crazy. Some states have this going on. Some governors have this. Some counties are doing this. This is what Ron was sharing with us earlier. The Dr. Fauci says this, and this political leader says that. And parents, if you start imagining what your kids are going to be like at their graduation of high school, and they're currently only in second grade, you're going to go crazy. Keep it in your tent. Keep it in your tent. Let me give you a Bible verse. "Sufficient is the day for its own trouble." Matthew 6:34. You got enough trouble in today's tent. The trouble tent. You got enough. Verse 38, when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. Verse 39 says, he went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." And then verse 40, but they laughed at him. So watch what he did. Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to be like Jesus this morning? All right. And when did the miracle happen? After he put them all out. After he put them all out. I feel a delete party happening in your contacts of your phone happening right now. Okay. And I'm coming on strong this morning, but don't delete everybody, okay? There were some that were allowed to come in there. He took his disciples in there. You don't put everybody out. You don't put every thought out. But sometimes you have to believe in your tent. I'm looking forward to camping with my daughter this week. I love being in a tent. You love being in a tent or a cabin, right? There's that feeling. I love being with the Lord and talking to Him, listening. Sometimes in your tent, you remember God's blessing from somewhere in your past. Matthew, I know that you're doing that this morning. Sometimes you can't ask everybody. I know it's important sometimes to ask your boss. Sometimes it's important for sure to ask your spouse. In my case, my wife. You got to ask important people. You got to have a few. But it's too much right now. It's too much right now. God sent me with a word that says to you inside your tent, everybody leave. Just leave. Because sometimes breakthrough only happens in the tent, in your tent. Thank you, Lord. Because I believe there are things happening even during this message right now. His presence is here, as Ron was saying. As I'm speaking to you, I have clear confirmation for some of you. I know specifically, even online, you need this morning. And for others, there's these thoughts going, oh, this is dumb. This is really stupid, but I'm in a tent. It's conflicting. It's back and forth. I got to keep it in my tent. I got to remember when I'm preaching that I don't preach for somebody who's going to criticize what I say or think it's weird, it's crazy. So if you think I'm out of my mind, that's the goal. That's the goal this morning. My mind has made me miserable for most of my life. They laughed at Jesus. They laughed at Jesus, not because he was weird, but because he was focused and he knew enough to know. See, Jesus had the original NBA press tent, okay? Brian, not the National Basketball Association. This is a little different, but the no buts allowed. Let's have some fun together for a couple minutes here, okay? Take a breath. Yes, I don't want to say it like this, but I'm going to. Maybe we can delete this or edit it for online later. Okay, get your butt out of the tent. Does the Bible say but in verse 40? It does, doesn't it? But they laughed at him. Get out, get out, get out. You can't do this. Get out, but get out, get out. I'm doing this. Some of you guys got to be intentional. You're surrounded, and I am too, by a lot of things happening here in Avalon. Some breakthroughs can only happen in a tent where you have a few friends, where you have a few objectives and a few priorities coming your way, not trying to believe everything all the time. Now I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and I know what I am and who I am. I'm not trying to prove to everybody that I'm something else, and I'm not trying to play a different role. Come on, are you listening this morning? I'm not trying to have all this emotion. Just because we have to wear physical masks doesn't mean I have to wear an emotional mask, right? I thought it was so weird this week when things are turning up the last 2 weeks. They said masks are coming back. They said it's weird to see people wearing masks. It's not weird for me. I'm a pastor. I've been looking at masks for a... We'll leave that one alone. So Jesus knew that sometimes it takes a tent to maintain belief. After we get done with this, you guys can tell me about your 5 minutes, how you start your day to remind yourself where your help comes from. I did that today. Coming up here to the park and processing at that point, it's too late. There's too many stimulants happening here. Golf carts going by, joggers going by. Who's here today? Who's not? Who? How long is this person speaking? How long, you know, what time are we supposed to get out of here? And, you know, what's happening? Just so many dynamics. It'd be too much. So I sit at home till I know it's time for me to leave here, and I feel this, and I breathe in my tent for a minute. It really helped me. I don't always do it, but when I do it, it helps me. Out loud, I started to say, God, thank you for today, and that you've given me something that will help and heal people. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you today that as I preach, I stand in your authority and not my own. I thank you that you are giving me what I need for the role that I'm in. Maybe you want to start your day that way before you even get here. Maybe you want to change that. Like, I'm too busy over here. Some of these coves are not releasing their workers to even have 5 minutes of life, much less do laundry. They're working so hard, and God is right here. It's such a beautiful place. After he made the tent, he showed them what a breakthrough looks like. I don't even want to read it. I don't even want to read it because I'm too tempted to preach about it, because the Bible said when he went in where the child was, verse 41, he did the impossible. He did the impossible. Are you listening? He did the impossible. One daughter thought she was a woman with an issue. But another daughter that they thought was dead, when he took her by the hand, wow. What would it feel like for something that you thought was dead, right? Maybe not a person. Maybe it's joy. For some young people here, maybe it's clarity. He took it by the hand. This is not how Jairus thought it would happen. This was not what he believed for. It was better. It was way better. What if God wants to knock over your tent to give you something better? Amen? We awake this morning. What if he wants to do that? Wouldn't that be great? I receive that, God. Thank him for it. God, I don't want to live my life trapped in a tent. Jairus said, if you put your hands on her, she'll live. Remember that? Remember that's how he scripted it, okay? That was his blueprint, but Jesus didn't bless him according to his blueprint. He took her by the hand, Talitha cum, little girl, get up. And when she got up, Jairus did not ask her this. Look at verse 42. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. And at this, they were completely astonished. Next verse, he gave strict orders to not let anyone know about this. Keep it in the tent. Keep it in the tent. Keep it in the tent. See, some things are for you. Some things are for you. He told them to give her something to eat. He threw a free lunch in there. When I say God's got something better, God is going to do something beyond what you think. He's going to put coney fries in the bag when you didn't even ask for them, Theo. That's the best thing about this town food. We know it. He's got more planned. I'm calling you back to make you my daughter. I'll fix you a peanut butter and jelly. I am a provider. I'm not only going to heal you, but give her something to eat. For some of you, you don't expect even more than what you're asking for. He's that kind of provider. He's there for you. He threw a free lunch in there. Speaking of extra, can I give you another scripture? Now, I promise you that I appreciate you enough that I could close the Bible in good conscience right here, and we can go on and watch something else, or you can stay with me for a moment. I'm going to traverse centuries of history, and I'm going to introduce Jairus, the man whose tent saved his faith, the man who believed when his daughter was dead, the man who kept moving forward even through the worst pain of his life, like Brother Matt, I know you're listening to me, who is pressing through these COVID complications right now, been told he's got another week, experiencing restoration, Jairus, and I want to show you Jairus, okay? A man he never met because he lived hundreds of years before him. His name was Naaman. Naaman. Naaman had a tent too. Naaman was a great man. The Bible says he was a great man and he was good at fighting. I want to introduce Naaman to Jairus because they're very similar. And I think they'd be good friends, actually. They'd be really good friends. See, Jairus was a synagogue leader. Well, probably they wouldn't have been great friends because Jairus was Jewish and Naaman was over Aram, a modern-day Syria, and Israel and Syria do not like each other, so they'd have a lot to get past, no doubt about it. Sometimes the people that God wants to bless you through, y'all tracking with me? Sometimes the people that God wants to use in your life are going to be people from totally different backgrounds, maybe a whole nother culture. AKA, God wants to blow over your tent. I thought of setting a tent up, but we're packing for a little camp out. I thought of putting my tent up here in some kind of giant fan. John knows me with props, and just blowing some tent over right here, and he'd be like, where am I going to plug all this in? I didn't want to freak you out this morning, so I left the props alone. I also didn't want to make it a cute little message because I'm saying it's a tent. It's bigger than that. It's so much bigger than that. I never thought Southern California would marry Southern Florida. My wife Shelley is from Southern California. I always thought I'd marry a Southern girl. A man told me one time, I couldn't stand how you preach because you talk strange. You spoke a little too direct, kind of rude. But God used you. A lady told me once that I couldn't stand to hear you preach because you're young. But God used you. A teenager told me one time that I could not listen to you preach because I thought you were boring. Then God used you. God might not use who you think he would use. Naaman was a great man. Oh my goodness. Many victories. I'm reading it in scripture. In his position, look at it. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. Stay with me. He was a great man in the sight of his master, highly regarded, and that means in the public places. Okay? In the public places. The public places. He was great. But the Bible says, you see it in verse 1, but, is it in there? It's in there. There's another but. The Lord gave him victory. God's given you victory. God's given you some things, but Naaman had leprosy. Nobody would have known this. Under his armor, the woman was bleeding on the inside. Naaman has something that is eating him away, even as God is working through him. Both can happen at the same time. So Naaman kind of demonstrates what I was telling you about, that often God will send you an answer through an unexpected person you didn't even ask a question to. Somebody said that to me yesterday on the Green Pier. Somebody said something to me. I'm like, what did you just say? They had no idea what they were saying. Matthew, you're listening to me online right now, Casada. Sorry, Matt Riley. I called you this week to encourage you. I'm the one who walked away floating on air. Well done, buddy. Never in my wildest dreams did I think a guy laying on his bed with oxygen for the last 2.5 weeks and more would have something to speak into my life. Buddy, that's where it's at. My friends, that is where it's at. God will often send an answer through an unexpected person you didn't even ask a question to. God will answer your prayers in places that you don't even think of asking. Isn't that cool? Grace. That's my daughter. She's sitting over there. All this COVID junk hit last year. You came home from school along with every other college student. I remember we had to drive back to get your stuff because they were closing the campus down. Avalon was shut down, looked like a ghost town. You know, I remember moving everything out of your college room and then putting it back in our bedroom and just the disappointment. And then trying to figure out whether or not we can use the horse trail, or is it closed, or can we go down here to the golf course, or is that closed? You remember all that uncertainty in the town. I want to get out and walk, but I don't want to expose someone. And oddly enough, my workout partner became Grace. From ping pong to jogging to help me lose 25 pounds. In just a handful of weeks, you helped me cross the country. I know you didn't sign up for all that stuff. This is one of the most precious seasons of my life as a father. I don't want to blow it. I don't want to forget about it. I don't want to take it for granted. I know it's a silly analogy, but sometimes God will use something to bond you and your child. It's amazing. Grace and I have talked about everything. I won't say we're closer than all the other kids, because if they're listening, they're all going to get mad. But Grace, you and I have spent an amazing amount of COVID time together. And even after teaching you how to steer an outrigger canoe and play pickleball and everything else, if Reed's in the house, this girl's power is unreal. She's killing me now. There's so many things. God used something we were both frustrated about, like COVID. I want to get to this point in my life where I stop trusting in so much of what I thought. Like Jairus' blueprint. This is what I think. Blow over the tent. Knock down the tent. Stop thinking there's only one style of ministry that God can bless you through. Stop thinking that ravens can't bring you food. Stop thinking that sticks can't part the Red Sea. Stop thinking that the first one in gets healed. Let's pray this morning. Father, this morning as we lift up so many needs in this congregation and online and in hospitals, those across the miles, even those that are visiting with us today, so many needs, so many stories. And it seems like such a desperate hour for so many. We surrender this morning our blueprint and even our tent. What we may have going into our heads or in our minds, way more thinking, overthinking, fear. But they laughed. Father, we stopped laughing this morning. The joke is technically on us. It's up to you. I never thought that you could touch my life through words from my brother in the hospital. I mean, it can happen, but I wasn't prepared for that for me. But it did. I wasn't thinking that this chapter in my life with COVID and all the changes going on would include my daughter. After kind of empty nest thinking, it just didn't register. And for so many people here, maybe right under your nose, the Creator has a blueprint that you haven't even seen before. He wants to take you by the hand and resurrect your joy, bring you clarity, help you with your anger, restore your marriage, and get a plan together on what this work situation may look like, and your monthly rent, and all the things that matter to you matter to Jesus. You may have to just touch his clothing this morning. You may not be able to feel like you're feeling like you're getting close to him, but just listen to his words, listen to these songs this morning, and maybe just trust in the message right now. It may sound good, and do some homework. Check it out. Keep coming back. Test it. You will see the Savior's love for you. You will feel it. You will have communion. It will feel real. You'll be forgiven. You will know it. Thank you for all of this. I thank you for these stories that are timeless. Mark 5, so loaded, and yet there's so much discovery waiting. May we stay in the Word of God, and may our lives be different as a result of being here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Andrew. Well, let's stand as we close together this morning, and just as he was just saying a moment ago, just the love of Christ, the love of God over our lives. He loves you so much. Stand in that love, and we're going to be singing that in a moment. Just stand in that love. Receive that love over your life each and every day. Let that love cast out any fear that's knocking at your door, getting you to think otherwise, that it's not true or that he's not there, he's not working. We kick that stuff out and we stand in the love of Christ. And so let's worship as we get ready to go out and just live in what he has for us this week. And maybe he has you even encouraging someone else this week. And then look for those ways that he's going to come into your life and encourage you through someone else in your world as well.
Darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow tries to steal the joy I own. when brokenness and pain is all I know. And I won't be shaken, no, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance. Vergüenza no tiene lugar, y las mentiras no me atraparán. Si el miedo mi pasado dejó atrás, en ti estoy firme, en ti estoy firme. Tu amor vence el temor, en ti somos libre. Tu amor stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
We're going to be singing about standing on that rock, the rock of Christ, a firm foundation. Estoy firme en tu gran amor. Firme de tu mano, voy. Estoy firme en tu gran amor. Mi roca eterna, mi roca eterna. I am standing, for I am standing on the rock. I am standing in your love. I am standing on the rock. My firm foundation, my firm foundation. One more time, I am. God bless you guys, the rest of your day, and we'll see you guys the next week. Have a great weekend.